manager extraordinaire, Bob Spagnuolo.
Happy New Year, Pete.
Yeah, it is Happy New Year. You and I have been saying that for about 30 now, 30-something years. So I guess, you know, I guess I can say we are longtime friends. First of all, I want to do say Happy New Year, but I got to ask you about the about this thing with the footballs. Have you watched this football thing at all about the underinflated footballs?
Yeah.
All right. Don't you think that's pretty shady?
Well, listen, what do you say, a game of inches? What I find a little interesting about this is, you know, when you look at these handicappers and you know, their ability to come within a half a point of an actual over-under, as they handicap these games, you know, what was the Tower part? A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. Well, you know, just, minuscule amount of information becomes paramount in some of those equations that those guys are working. So it's bigger than both of us, Pete, and it really probably isn't much to do about nothing. And then you look at the incestuous relationship between Goodell and Kraft, and look, the whole thing, you know, the NFL, like we say, we know what that stands for. Not for long, if you. If you don't act right or make a mistake, but that obviously doesn't seem to work from the top down, from the bottom up.
Does it surprise you that Mike Ditka, being the great Chicago Bears, the iconic figure both as a coach and a player, are you surprised he came out this week and said that football is not worth the risk, the reward is not worth the risk? Did that surprise you?
Well, I think that we're in all of these, you know, these endeavors, these athletes, we're seeing that, you know, it's a, you know, we got to play, we got to compete when we were young, but when you make this a career, when it's a career angle, it really is a, you know, there's a terrible price to pay. And the way that a lot of these athletes that we've certainly dealt with, and I'm sure in football as well, they don't, you got to amortize that money that you're making or not making over your useful life. And is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it to be to let your kid go out there and get banged around like that in a contact sport, knowing the price that he's going to pay? As we begin to know the price that you're going to pay, you know, down the road. And as they try to pour antiseptic on these contact sports, and we change, you know, the sports that have been so exciting to us over all these years, in order to sanitize the contact, you know, where is boxing going to fit in? In Greenwich, Connecticut, they had a lawsuit. This is 3 years ago because of high school girls heading a soccer ball. And, you know, it was dangerous. And if that's dangerous, how long is it going to be before we're out of business? Because certainly our business is a business of pain and suffering for the athletes that participate in it. And some of us support group as well, although we're not actually having that tangible contact.
You know, a great amateur from my generation was Ray Ordonia up here in Northern California. He won 5 Golden Glove titles. And I remember that was the record I was after. I grabbed 4. I wanted Ray and Jack Padilla had 5 Golden Glove championships. And, of course, Breland had 5 over there in New York. And I thought that was a record, the recognized record across the country. But he sent me a little blurb, a comment on one of my articles where I talked about, you know, are you too brave to say to retire? And he wasn't too brave to retire. You know, I mean, he realized that he wasn't going to make a lot of money or billions of dollars. And then he started realizing, even if he could make billions of dollars, was the risk and was the trade worth it? And he said no, you know. And I got to tell you, my daughter came to me a few years ago, and she goes, you know, I'm having some problems with somebody. I want to learn how to fight. I said, yeah. She goes, and maybe have. I said, no. If you have a few problems with somebody and you want to, like, duke out to some one-time type of thing, I understand that. But I'm not talking about training and you fighting as far as a boxing is concerned. I said, I would never go for that. She goes, never. She goes, I was testing you. I said, no. But the bottom line is I wouldn't let my daughter box, and I don't think you would either.
Right. Well, listen, it's a great you know, I mean, sit here just like Mike Dick, that people say, oh, it didn't do bad for old Mike. He's a multimillionaire as a result of that. But at what, you know, how does he put his pants on in the morning? They, you know, remember the depictions of Ray, of Jim Otto, the great Raiders center, and that couldn't, you know, that couldn't pull his pants around his knees. You know, and a center isn't, you know, thought to be, you know, I mean, obviously, there's a terrible price to pay, and maybe you don't want the next generation to pay it. But, you know, I mean, who wants their kid if they have another option? I don't know what Ray's other options were, but, you know, when sometimes when you have options, a lot of the kids we deal with, as we both well know, don't have any options. And that's, you know, when it, you know, it becomes, hey, this is the price I'm going to pay. And, you know, it's just that's the dynamic that's involved.
You know, sticking with the youth just for a second, you know, when I entertain people from abroad and they come to the United States, to come to San Francisco to, I mean, I live in San Francisco, so everybody that comes here wants me to show them around, and I show them around, and they're aghast at the youth. When they see the American youth, they're aghast. They think, you know, if this is the future, we're sort of in trouble. And then if you look at the world in which we live in now, the Twitter thing, and, you know, purposely misspelling words in the text era and things like that. Man, I've been on the internet since 1991, Bob, and I can tell you the American public, their IQ, it's on the decline. And it wasn't that good to begin with before the IT age. It was like a 99 or 100. But it's not looking good. I don't know. I thought all these computers were going to enhance intelligence and cultivate intelligence. And I think the opposite's happening.
Well, it's funny that you say that. We had this training that I went through kind of on a voluntarily basis of it was generational diversity. And, you know, it was about people like myself that are older, old school, and, you know, want someone to look them in the eye when they talk to them and want to have a conversation and not have it interrupted. But the instructor, which was, we were all on board for all that. And, you know, with our own children, we, you know, we don't want them to be who they are. We want them to be kind of more of like who we were as far as, you know, having a conversation. How are they going to? You know, I remember driving my daughter in her AAU basketball years. They'd have three kids in the back seat as we'd be driving at 6 o'clock in the morning to the tournaments, and they'd all be on their phones texting, sometimes texting each other and including each other in these conversations, rather than you know, as they're stuffed in, the three of them behind us in the seat. It's the communication system. But in the training, they told us, look, these kids, rather than you know, going to the library and going in the stacks and figuring something out, they can, in the midst of this conversation, they can look that up and already know the answer. So don't hate on their that aspect of their their ilk, their being able to do these things. But, you know, when you let that machine do all your thinking for you, you know, keeping your numbers. I used to keep all, you know, I'd keep 30, 40, 60, 70 people's numbers in my head. And I prided myself on, I used to be able to know area codes from all over the country. Of course, when they tripled and fourpled, I stopped playing that game. But these are just mind exercises that I would just do because not because I didn't want to use the technology, but that I wasn't up to that task. So, but those kinds of mind exercises, they say, are very important. And for guys like you and I that have been hit in the head a few times, you know, that might have a little dementia coming sooner than later, you know, those exercises of the mind are very important. But the more you rely on this technology, the less you exercise your mind, and you're letting that little piece of IT do all your work for you. You know, you just, you know, talk to the thing and, hey, tell me about this, or where is this, or what is this? Things that we used to rely on our own memory banks for, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some pushback to that.
So you don't think people should look you in the eye when they talk to you? I mean, I got a problem with that. I mean, you try to talk to people.
Well, listen, that's and I do too. But at the same time, they explained was, listen, they're glancing back and forth at that little machine of theirs that they could be doing something else, you know, multitasking right at the same time. So don't get so stuck on what you want about, you know, you're used to somebody looking you in the eye, that you demand that, that's respect, but at the same time, listen, they're doing things other, they're not just hanging out when they're looking to that thing, they could be accomplishing tasks at the same time. It's just
gotta run. You know, Bobby, you are the man when it comes to this kind of stuff. Thank you so much. Bob Spagnuolo, folks, expanding on the dumber than dumb status of America, and that includes sports fans.